You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We call that land the Canaan land. We call it the Promised Land, and for a good reason, too. God had promised that land to Abraham and to his descendants on oath. And as we prepare to teach a Sunday school lesson, we are long past Abraham. We are hundreds of years past Abraham. Abraham saw the land. He dwelt in the land as a stranger, but that wasn't the fulfillment of the promise yet. Abraham's descendants end up in Egypt and then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But before they wander, they reach the edge of that land. They're ready to go in. In fact, the Lord is ready for them to go in. They send in spies, and then they decide not to go in. And it proves to be something of a turning point for the people of God there. Not only 40 more years in the wilderness waiting for that generation to die off, but also forestalling the promise, but not preventing the promise from being kept. We're going to be talking about those spies, those 12 spies sent into Canaan in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. As we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
And thank you, Todd.
Why is it so important to understand the promises of God if we're going to rightly understand this story about the spies going into Canaan?
Yes, that's a good question. It comes to my mind that in a lot of sermons outside of Lutheranism, you hear the idea that there really isn't anything impossible for you to do if you are a Christian. We really disagree with that because the Bible makes it clear that there is lots that is impossible for a Christian to do. Like in Mark 10:27, it is impossible to save yourself. And if you look closely at the text, Luke 1:37 doesn't say that nothing is going to be impossible for you. It says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Even the Mark 10, even though it says with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible. In other words, what does it mean to be with God so something doesn't become possible? The way you are with God is that God has a promise there for you. So this week, for example, at Trinity Orchard Farm, and by the way, they're looking for you to go and preaching there sometime this fall, Todd, but we're going to be baptizing an infant. It is impossible for me as a pastor to have any power to take an infant from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. But with God, which means using his promises that in infant baptism that occurs, then it is possible for that to happen. So why are God's promises so important to me? The only time I know for sure that something is possible for me to do is when God has already attached a promise to it. Outside of that, there still may be impossible things that I'm able to do with the help of God, but there's no assurance that will occur. It's only due to his mercy and grace. But when you have a promise, you should have no doubt at all.
And these people had been promised, not only they, but all the way back to Abraham, and they were fully aware of it, had been promised this land that they are, at least at this point, ostensibly preparing to enter when we meet them in Numbers 13 and 14.
Yes, and in fact, you don't even have to go back that far. They had only been 2 years coming out of Egypt, and listen what God says to Moses. It's in Exodus 3, 16 and 17. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was a specific promise. And the spies, 10 of them, got there and saw it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And guess what? They forgot the promise. And therefore, only two of the 12 spies, Caleb and Joshua, remembered that promise. And they felt that God would keep his promise. The other 10 did not.
So God is the one who commands them there at the beginning of chapter 13. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which, and he uses the present tense, which I am giving to the people of Israel. They send out one from each tribe. Pick up the story there.
Yes. More importantly than just one from each tribe, it was the chief among those tribes. In other words, those people that would be trusted, and that is who they are to be sending out. That word chief, by the way, in the original language, actually refers to the ruler, the one who was head of the tribe, that people would look up to, the leader. And they're the ones, 10 of them, these are the chief of the tribes that failed God. So they name the various chiefs, including both the two that are going to remain faithful, Joshua and Caleb. They go to the land of Canaan, and sure enough, they see all these beautiful things, the fruit of the land, the first ripe grapes. But when they come back, wow, the 10 of them say, yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. And then they even say they saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, the descendants of Anak were also referred to as giants. These were big men. They said it was like we were grasshoppers beside them. And boy, did they ever get the people disturbed by clearly stating that they could not believe that God would be able to conquer this land.
And what do Caleb and Joshua say in response to the bad report delivered by those 10 spies?
Yes. Caleb talks first in verse 30. He says, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why? Because he remembered the promise. You know, it would be like saying to somebody that, you know, we need to bring this baby into the kingdom of God who is in the kingdom of Satan. And somebody says, oh, no, we don't have the power to do that. Don't be wasting time with water. But because we believe the promise, we anxiously bring our children to the waters of baptism because God has attached a promise to that sacrament of baptism. And it doesn't matter how gigantic Satan may look to us, we have nothing to fear because God is with us, which means their strength is gone. And it's not as though that they were unaware of this. I mean, these were the people who went through the Red Sea. These were the people who saw all the Egyptians drowned. And they're going to have a problem with people in Canaan, especially we believe at this time among the Israelites, there were 500,000 warriors available. And so this really shows how Satan can get in us and make us afraid, which means we doubt promises from God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the 12 spies in Canaan, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back to talk about the people rebelling at the negative report. Stay tuned.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the spies that were sent into the promised land in advance of the people's entrance and the people's rebellion that followed in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Tom, the people actually not only just grumble, they plot to replace Moses as their leader, and they plot to return to Egypt. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is a common thing that happens in some churches. A pastor will take a strong stand on God's word, for example, perhaps something along the lines that young people should not live together prior to marriage. And this is God's word. Well, guess who the parents get angry at? They don't get angry at their children for disobeying the word of God. They get angry at the pastor. The pastor who is the one who is simply speaking the word of God in its truth and purity. And that's what happens to Moses. They don't like hearing what God has told them, that therefore they're now going to be wandering 40 years a total, the two they were in, plus these 38 that are going to be added on, and they're not happy with that. And so they grumble against Moses, and it's as though they forget the slavery they endured in the land of Egypt. They were very happy to get through the Red Sea, but now they want to go back to that. Now, that's just 2 years. And well, we're finding this again and again. People can get confirmed, and not long after that, they maybe go to college and stop going to church. Why? I think this is the theme of this lesson, that what we need to do is remember the promises of God. That's why people need to go to church regularly and Bible study, not in order to get to heaven, but to remember the promises of God. That's how God keeps you faithful, not by attending church, but being reminded again and again of his promises. And see, that's what Caleb and Joshua were doing. They were reminding them of their promise, of the promises from God, which, by the way, in Deuteronomy 9, Moses does again when he says that you need to cross over the Jordan today. And sure, you're going to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. God doesn't pretend that they aren't mightier, but how are they going to do that? Because who can stand before God? He will go before you as a consuming fire, the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. And I guess the people in the town of Jericho got to know that pretty quick.
This is a very severe judgment that God metes out. And Moses has to plead several times with God to mitigate the punishment that he is. First, he's ready to wipe out the entire nation, start over with Moses, and like a new Abraham, I'll make a great nation out of you. I'm just going to start all over again. But then in the end, the punishment is still, at least in human terms, very severe.
Yes, this is another point that I think is very important. Forgiveness, which God does to them, he forgives them, does not take away the temporal consequences of sin. So, I may, go over the speed limit and get a ticket, and I'm forgiven that by God, but I still have to pay the ticket. Paying the ticket is the 40 years in the wilderness that they had to travel. But they were forgiven their sins, and how did that come about? Due to the pleading of Moses. And therefore, in verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's part of our liturgy. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions. But then listen to this. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. In other words, the temporal consequences of sin, there is no forgiveness for those. But there is forgiveness for the eternal consequences of sin and also in our having a right relationship with God the Father. That distinction between the two kingdoms, the temporal versus the spiritual, this is a great opportunity to share that with the children.
This several chapters that we're looking at here, Tom, is really absolutely key to rightly understanding why the people spend those 40 years in the wilderness. It is on account of the rebellion and their sin. It is that generation that saw the Exodus will not see the promised land on account of their rebellion. What does that show us about the parallel that we find in Jesus 40 days in the wilderness being tempted and resisting the temptations of the devil on our behalf?
Yes. If you take a look at the concordance, the word 40 actually comes up 80 times in the Bible. And God specifically links the 40 years to what? The 40 days that the spies spent in the land of Canaan and came back with great dejection and rejection of God's will. 10 of them it did at any rate. And so, therefore, the 40 that Jesus spent in the wilderness, and particularly when you take a look at the book of Matthew, where the writer Matthew is trying to show how Jesus fulfilled perfectly what the old Israel failed to do. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, but continued to sin. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness and never once sinned. And there are so many other parallels, like dealing with the manna and Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, feeding 5,000 and then 4,000 with a little bit of bread and fish. So Jesus again and again shows he's not only the new Moses, but he's the new Israel. And that's why every lesson, even the 12 spies in Canaan, the big question is, where is Jesus? Well, he's found everywhere in this text as the fulfillment of the failures done by the people of Israel, which means you and I will be going into the promised land of eternal heaven.
Talk about, with a few minutes left to us here, the fact that what God finds intolerable among his people here is that they despise his word, his promise.
Yes, that would be the law and gospel here, that even though we hear the promises of God, guess what? We are not comforted at times. In fact, I'm discovering this when we visit with delinquents. A part of the thing why they are having lives that they're really having trouble with is because you don't have to go to church in order to be saved. But by not going to church, you're losing out on the hundreds of comforting promises that you hear each year that only the ears of those who are listening in worship are going to be able to hear. Remember, there's a good tie-in here, and I really appreciated that, by the Growing in Christ Sunday School literature. They tie it to the third commandment. And Luther doesn't say remembering the Sabbath day occurs when we don't do any work on it. Here's what he says. We should fear and love God that we do not despise preaching and his word, but gladly hear and learn it. Now, why is he emphasizing that? Because the word Sabbath means a day of rest where we now listen again and again to the promises of God, and that's how God keeps us in strong faith in hearing the promises. And regardless of the evidence that we see in our lives, we know for sure that his promises are sure.
So what's the basic message, with about a minute here, Tom? What's the basic message that we want the Sunday school kids to hear in this story of God's judgment of his people for their rebellion against his word?
Yes, the law would be sin is not just disobedience. If it were that, we just correct it by becoming obedient. No, sin at its deepest level is not believing God's promises. Therefore, the gospel is God still continues to keep his promises to you, even though you don't believe them. And so, therefore, while you might suffer temporal consequences, for example, not taking the Lord's Supper properly, where some Christians were getting sick and dying, they still fell asleep, which means they were Christians. They still went to heaven. And the good gospel is, though we fail to believe his promises, he never fails to keep his promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the children of Israel entering that promised land in Joshua chapters 3 through 5. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. Right there at the end, you heard Tom mention Growing in Christ. It's a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about this in-depth study for children of all ages, including adults as well, Growing in Christ Sunday School Curriculum from Concordia Publishing House by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or Concordia Publishing House will send you a free sample of Growing in Christ so you can see for yourself. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.